Today we add another Final Fantasy game to the list of games, the endless list of games. It's Final Fantasy IV here on It's So Bad. Welcome, Mr. Chris, to back to the podcast. It's been a bit.
Hello. Good to see you again.
What was the last one you were on?
TIE Fighter?
Really?
No, wait, did we do TIE Fighter or Tecmo Super Bowl in Madden?
Oh, Tecmo Super Bowl. It's been a little bit. It's not that bad. It's been a couple episodes.
A month.
Yeah. We've added a few things to our endless list of games since then, but... Yes, this is the podcast where we talk about games and we add them to a big long list, which is currently at 20. 20 names on there, 20 different games.
What the hell's Mark of the Wolves? I missed that.
Garou,
one.
Mark of the Wolves. It was the episode that's coming out next.
Oh.
It's not out yet.
Oh.
As we record this.
Spoilers, everybody.
Spoilers. But that should be out this week, actually, or 2 weeks ago.
I can't believe you guys...
Time! I don't know what's going on with time.
I can't believe you guys put that above Legend of Zelda. That's crazy.
Yeah, right? Well, people will know at the... Fuck, time. It's wibbly-wobbly.
Timey-wimey.
Yes. So what have you been up to, my man?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No. Got nothing to add here.
Nothing.
Just kidding. Okay. JK. That's of course good. I got stuff to add.
Good.
Of course. So, you know, I've been playing all the latest, newest, hippest Famicom games that came out 30-some-odd years ago. I've been playing, as I brought over here to your house, if you'd like to check it, SD Hero Sukesen, which is
a Gundam game.
Gundam, Ultraman, and Kamen Rider team-up platformer.
Shut up.
It's very, very...
All my favorite animes.
It's, well, you know, two of those were not animes, so...
Oh, yeah, Kamen Rider was a...
Live-action.
Like Super Sentai show.
Yeah, it's in that family, and Ultraman is, of course, you know, Ultraman.
Yes, I don't really know anything at all about Ultraman except for what he looks like.
I could, I could recap it for you briefly, but you know, that's a whole different podcast.
I could tell you all about Gundam. I know I've watched, I want to say 4 or 5 different series of Gundam.
I'll just say a little bit of Ultraman trivia. The first Ultra series show didn't even have Ultraman. Oh, there you go.
Oh, wow. Yep. So all of these, this game you're talking about, what's it called again?
SD Hero Sukesen.
So it's all chibi stuff?
Yes.
Chibi characters?
Yes.
And it's a platformer?
Yes, a very, very difficult platformer. Hmm. Very difficult. But I was able to finally beat it the other week. I felt very accomplished. I've also been playing another Famicom game called the Portopia Serial Murder Case.
Oh, did you get a translation of it?
Nope.
I've heard of that before.
Nope, I'm playing in the original Japanese version.
Ooh, you're getting there, huh?
And you know, it's a little harder because I don't know if this is true for the entire life cycle of the Famicom, but there was certainly a period of time where Famicom games cannot display kanji.
Yeah, I don't think they can because it's too much memory.
Yeah.
So they just have hiragana and katakana.
Yeah, so that makes it harder. Well, in a way, it's easier because I can read everything.
Yeah.
But it's harder in the sense that
you don't know what it means.
I gotta look for particles, and I gotta like try to break it up that way because my Japanese learning is still in progress.
Well, I'm impressed that you can take that on, though.
It's it's a little slow. I basically go screen by screen and translate it, and that's what I do.
I think they played that game on Game Center CX, which I think I've told you about before.
Oh yeah.
It's a Japanese show where the guy tries to beat an old retro game. They call it here, I think, Retro Game Challenge is what they changed the name to, but Kotaku put out a bunch of episodes that they put translations to on their website a couple years back, but it's been going on for like 25 years. Guy sits down, plays a game through for a day and tries to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it'll go multiple days, and they've played some crazy whack-ass Japanese shit. And I forget what that game's called.
Portopia Serial Murder Case.
He's definitely played that game before. Yeah. He plays a lot of detective games. Those are the episodes where I'm like, I might want to check out on this one.
That's not the best viewing experience, watching somebody playing a point-and-click mystery game.
Well, listen, some of the shit that he does is really good, and it's like really weird. Like, They do a lot of trivia games, and those are surprisingly fun.
Interesting.
Because he like does shit around him, and he's a comedian, so mm-hmm. he does like comedy bits around it. But he had one where he did, I guess on PlayStation, there's a controller in a game that came with this controller where you are a train operator. Like okay. a subway train operator?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm aware of this game.
And you have,
yes.
like, the stick where you can control the train. And, like, that episode was great because they had, like, guys dressed up like Japanese train conductors.
Yep, yep.
And they were in the background.
Very good.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good episode.
I'm trying to think of anything else noteworthy. I'm trying to be Gunak. That's not going very well. And, of course, I still play Fire Emblem Heroes because, you know,
yeah,
I need my mobile gacha games.
Well, so I'm playing Spider-Man, which you played.
Yep.
I am almost done. I'll tell you, did you platinum that game?
No.
I have almost beaten all of the side shit.
Hmm.
Almost all of it.
I beat a good chunk of it, but so, no, I did not. I did not platinum that game.
I think I'm at the very end because I just got the achievement for beating all the side missions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have like two Sable things left to do. Oh, Silver yeah. Sable things and yeah. like prison riots I have to stop. And then that's it for all of the side content. I haven't like gotten the highest mark on all the Taskmaster stuff. Cause that's like super fucking hard.
Very hard.
But yeah, that game's great.
That's an excellent game.
I'll say this. It's not very highbrow game. It's not a highbrow game.
No.
It is a very fun game. It's like, if you want your quarter pounder with some fries, that's your Spider-Man. It's not filet mignon. It's not giving you like a million different flavors with umami and all this, but it's your quarter pounder with cheese. I need this sometimes just to break up and make my love of video games a little bit better.
It is no Return of the Sinister Six for the NES.
It is no Dragon Warrior, which is the other game that I'm playing. Yeah, so I'm still trying to play that a little bit on the side, but I've gotten really into Spider-Man, so I just haven't been playing much else besides Spider-Man.
We will probably be talking about that game one day on this podcast.
Spider-Man.
One day, yes. One day.
But you know what else I've been playing? And I'm wondering if you have given this a go yet. Apex Legends.
I have not, but I saw that sitting on your recently played games on your monitor. I was going to ask you how that was.
It is, if you like Fortnite... Do you like, how do you, what are your feelings about Fortnite?
You know, I liked Fortnite, like, for a while, you know, but just not really, doesn't really hold my interest,
What about it makes you not want to play it?
It's just, I feel it's a very repetitive experience, you know, even like when they do try to change up the game modes and stuff, you know. I think it's, it's fun for what it is, if you want to pick it up and play like a shooting game and, competitively online, like it's good for that, but how much of that can you kind of keep doing?
See, what I hate about Fortnite is the building. I can't stand the building at all. Like I can't
bother
do
me
it.
Like a ton because I just don't play it enough to really get too
right,
bothered by
right.
it.
Right. I will say that this game is much more varied, and it's more varied because you have heroes. They don't call them heroes; they call them legends,
mm-hmm.
and they all have different abilities. So, like one guy, the guy that I play as mainly, his name's Bloodhound. He has, if you uses tactical ability, you can see where people have stepped, like within the last like 2 minutes or so.
Uh-huh.
And then he has another ability, which is basically an ultimate, which is where they get it from Overwatch, which is he turns into like a hunter and you can see everybody like as a red outline on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can track them. There's another one that I play as. It's a Wraith. She can go stealth for like 10 seconds. So if you're in a firefight, right, you can click on her tactical ability, move somewhere else. Somebody, the person won't see where you're moving to, and then shoot them from another angle.
I gotcha.
Or go around behind them. She can also make portals for everybody on her squad.
So it's kind of like, I never played Overwatch, but it's kind of like that,
it's
right?
It's like
Fortnite, a mix of Overwatch Fortnite and Fortnite put together.
Yes, exactly.
How big are the, how big are like the games? Like, can you do like 50 on 50 like you do in Fortnite?
It's 60. It's 60 people. And plus it's all squads. There's no solo. So it's three-man squads.
No, that's good.
Yeah. So it's pretty good. It's the first time I've played about 70 hours of PUBG. I've put in probably like 10 to 15 hours of Fortnite. Never gotten a win. In squads, in solo, whatever. In the first week of playing this game, I've gotten a win.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good. So. I guess you're good at it. I guess you found your groove. You found your battle royale groove.
I will say, yeah, it's pretty good.
It's
I like
also
it.
It's also free, like Fortnite is, right?
Yeah, and you can buy characters.
Yeah.
So that's how they're gonna make their money.
Mm-hmm.
They have season pass where you get characters. Supposedly, I guess they're gonna roll out a new character every month, which is like very fast. It's what I read recently. And they have two characters you can buy right now, and I think if you want to buy them alone, they're like $7. So, and one of them is like makes decoys of himself, and the other one poops out gas clouds.
Hmm.
So, it'll be interesting to see how that game evolves. I played a game with a buddy recently, and it was we had a good time. We didn't do shit. We lost really quickly. That's another thing. These games, like, typically you're in a game for like very short period. It's like 5 to 10 minutes, as opposed to Fortnite where you're like taking 20 minutes per round.
Right. So.
But yes, let's get into our main event here and talk about the Final Fantasy IV.
Yes. Yes, the best game of all time. I'm ready to talk about it.
So, we're going to call it Final Fantasy IV.
Yes, we are.
It was known as Final Fantasy II here in the U.S. Was released in July of 1991 in Japan, September of 1991 in North America. We're going to refer to it throughout the rest of this podcast as Final Fantasy IV, just because we've talked about other Final Fantasies, and we will continue to talk about all of the Final Fantasies.
And I'm sure everybody knows the Final Fantasy II, Final Fantasy IV story by now.
No, what is this? What is the Final Fantasy?
In a nutshell, so we can't dwell on it for that long, it was the second Final Fantasy game released in America. We got the easy type version of Final Fantasy IV that was released in Japan with many abilities and other things removed and dumbed down. It took a long time before we got a proper Final Fantasy IV, but it did eventually come out. I think the PlayStation 1, I think, was the first official release in America of the true Final Fantasy IV that had all the abilities and the difficulty in place the way it should be. Final Fantasy II is not bad, but once you know how good that game can be as Final Fantasy IV, there's no reason to ever go play Final Fantasy II.
Yeah, and we say Final Fantasy II, we mean Super Nintendo's North American release of Final Fantasy II. But yeah, this game has been re-released for the PlayStation. It's how I played it on the anthology called Final Fantasy Chronicles, which included Chrono Trigger, which I surprisingly played both of those games on my PlayStation. But it also has been re-released on the GBA. It's been released on the DS, on the PSP. They've remade it for Steam. They made it for iOS. So this game's been released a whole shitload. But yeah, on the version differences, the original version, I guess, I don't even think in on the PlayStation 1 that I played, there were commands that are missing. Not all the commands are missing, so Kane's Darkness doesn't exist on the PlayStation version.
You never had Darkness. That's only Cecil that has Darkness.
So Tella has Recall, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's on the PlayStation version either.
I think it is. It's been a long time since I played the PlayStation version.
Yeah, so the original Super Nintendo release was missing a whole bunch of commands, so in addition to attack, characters had an additional command, and what attack items or spells. And Tella had Recall, Kane had Darkness, Edward has Solve, Rosa has Prey, and a whole bunch of other ones. There's also spells that were missing from the Super Nintendo version, so they got rid of Protect, Dispel, and Shell for some reason.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of, Dispel was like completely disabled in the easy type Final Fantasy II game.
They got rid of all the curative items, so the ones that got rid of statuses, except for Remedy, so they just made it easier. Which, to be fair, they should have just done all over, because I fucking hated carrying a million different things to cure a million different things. I always hate that about Final Fantasy games. Like, why do I need an individual thing to cure Stone, or cure Silence, or cure whatever? Just give me fucking Remedy.
Listen, you're a simple guy.
Stupid.
With simple asks.
Stupid. But yeah, boss battles were easier. They had lower HP.
Mm-hmm.
Item costs were also decreased. So yeah, that's the difference between the original North American release and the other stuff. But yeah, tell me about your history with this game. When was the first time you played this?
When it first came out as Final Fantasy II, I I think I got it like just as soon as it was released. I think that was truly my first RPG, and I quickly became very obsessed with that game. I probably beat Final Fantasy II on the Super Nintendo.
Like, this is your first RPG?
Probably was, because I don't think I played any RPGs on Nintendo. I mean, I had Zelda, but like a true like Japanese style RPG.
People saying that Zelda is an action RPG makes me shake my head. I just don't understand that, but yes.
You know, I mean, you know, well, RPG of this type, this was probably the first for me. And
JRPG.
Yeah, yes. And so I beat it multiple times when I was a youngster, when I first got it. And then as I got older and I learned about the fact that there was, like, a more advanced version, I later repurchased the game for a PlayStation 1, the Game Boy Advance, the DS 3D remake. And then I replayed it again when it got released on iOS.
So you really love this game, huh?
This is my favorite game of all time.
Really?
Yes.
I did not realize this when I was scheduling this. This is upsetting because I'm looking at this list and you're going to make this.
You're
going
to have to try to counter me saying it's going to be number one.
That's, yes.
So, you know.
I mean, we'll get into it, but I do think this game is better than the other Final Fantasy we have on this list. But yeah, so for me, I played not this game. I played the game that was released a year later. My first JRPG was Mystic Quest. And
even easier than Final Fantasy II.
Oh, yes. Much easier. The Mystic Quest, I think we talked about this the last Final Fantasy, but that was years ago. Mystic Quest is like the easy get North Americans into RPG games that they designed. I think it's called Final Fantasy USA in Japan.
Yes.
It's... not that great of a game. I like have nostalgia for it, so but yes, it's very easy game once you get into it. But yes, so this game was released in 1991 as Final Fantasy IV in Japan. In 92 they released Mystic Quest in North America. In 1992 they also released Final Fantasy V, which never came out in North America until later. Then 6 was released in 94, so you had a good 3-year period where they had a ton of Final Fantasy stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. Can't imagine that happening today, considering Final Fantasy 15 took like 10 years to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so this game was also developed and published by Square, directed by Hironobu Sakaguchi, who also made Final Fantasy 2, 3, and 5, and wrote the story for 6. So he's like the dude for all the 2D Final Fantasy games. Before they went to 3D, he was the guy. Sakaguchi. The designer of the game was Takashi Tokita, who would go on to direct Chrono Trigger, Parasite Eve, The Bouncer, and Live a Live. I don't know how to say that.
It's
a Japanese game that never came out here. He was quite the guy. Went on to do Chrono Trigger, which is my favorite JRPG.
That's up there, you know. That's a banger.
See, if we wanted to fight about Final Fantasy IV versus Chrono Trigger, I think that would be...
I guess we probably should have planned this a little bit better.
Maybe next time we do Chrono Trigger.
It's going to be just a head-to-head from here on out.
That's going to be tough. So this game actually was... I was reading it was developed at the same time that they were trying to develop an NES game and a Super Nintendo game at the same time. And I guess they had 80% of the Nintendo game done, and they canceled it.
So well, I mean, you know. Probably was going to share a lot of assets with Final Fantasy III.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? The development team was only 14 people, too. Crazy. But I guess at the time, that was big, because we've talked about other Super Nintendo games, and they're like 5 to 10 people.
Mm.
But what do you like about this game in particular? What makes you think that this is the best game of all time? Oh, take me through it.
Where to start? I mean, is it the characters? Come on. Kane is the coolest video game character, especially if you play this game in the 90s when it first came out. Kane is like the coolest video game character that you get to play as. He's like the Final Fantasy equivalent in 1991 of like Boba Fett. That's what he is. The story was great.
Kane.
Yeah. He's got the cool dragon armor. He can jump.
I like Cecil better, I have to be honest with you.
Listen, there's a lot of questionable things that come out of your mouth. But, you know, the story and all its twists and turns, like, I mean, Cecil's a good character. I mean, like, he's kind of a shitty person to start with. He does a lot of shitty things.
I will
and
say
it's a good redemption arc.
One of my favorite parts of this game is the Cecil story arc. Because this is one game that's like really interesting. It came out in 1991, right? If you look at like NES games, because that's like one of the early Super Nintendo games, 1991, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at some of the later Nintendo games, they had a story, and like you look at Ninja Gaiden, had nice cutscenes and a story, but like nothing where you start the game, and you're taken on a ship, an airship, and you're like shown this big long intro cutscene that like describes the world and describes Cecil and Kane trying to steal crystals, and you're like, what the fuck is happening, and all this shit, and like Cecil is like not really on board with all of this stealing of the crystals bullshit.
Listen, I didn't play many games back then that started with the hero of the story
being a bad guy.
Thinking back to how he just killed a whole bunch of innocent people taking a crystal. That's quite an aggressive start right there.
That is pretty aggressive for 1991,
You
yes.
got a three-way love triangle story going on between Cecil, Kane, and Rosa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got characters dying left and right. I mean, God, I was thinking about the other day. Like, Tella has, like, the shittiest life in this game.
Yeah, Tella's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I just really like that. We'll get to that scene, but, like... stop being a crybaby. That happens. That scene.
Oh, your girlfriend just died? Man up, loser.
yeah, and like multiple people tell him that. So Edward sucks.
There's so many good stretches of great scenes you play through in this game. Like, I love when you're defending Fabul Castle. That's probably one of my favorite parts in the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot
to cover here.
Yeah, so where do we want to begin here?
Well, let me ask you, have you ever beaten this game?
I have beaten this game. Okay. Yes. I went to the moon.
Yeah.
I defeated, what is his name?
Zaramis.
Zaramis.
Yeah.
And not Zebov or whatever it was. Golbez.
Golbez. Zebov.
I was like mixing Zemus and Golbez, I think. but yes. Yeah. So this story is about a dark knight who needs to, reconsidering his... murderous ways with helping an emperor. He doesn't really understand why he needs to go steal crystals from innocent people. And the king boots him out of the Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're called the Red Wings, but he kicks them out of the Red Wings.
Well, the ships are kind of red.
Oh, I get it. So, yeah, maybe that's it.
That could have something to do with it, perhaps.
Kicks him out, and then he has to go, and he's told to go burn down a...
No, he's told to deliver a package.
Oh,
which he doesn't know is going to end up burning down the village.
And then burns down the village, and he meets Rydia, yep, who won't use fire until you have to convince her to use fire and be like, stop being such a baby, you asshole.
Yep, yep.
And that happens. And then he has the redemptive arc of becoming a paladin when he fights himself. This game's all over the fucking place.
Listen,
a big robot at one point.
It's a long game.
They go to the moon.
You know, when you break it down in chunks, right? So you get kicked out of the castle. You and Kane, or Cecil and Kane, have to go. You kill the Mist Dragon, which ends up killing Rydia's mother.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, again, in the first hour of the game, Cecil has already done two really terrible, shitty things. You walk into a village, you burn it down. He's now up to three really shitty things in about an hour and 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
You know, but then, like, you know, that whole, like, first big scene, like, after the village where, like, Kane's gone. You know, Cecil wakes up, he takes Rydia, takes her to, like, the nearby village. He's got to protect her when the troops from Baron come to get him and kill her. And I was like, yo, that's some pretty deep stuff for an early Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, I'll say, so in comparing this game to Final Fantasy VI, this game has like very discrete storylines. So like Cecil's arc is really good. It's a really good story. But then they have like a million things that they add on to that.
Yeah.
But I will say that, and Final Fantasy VI does the same shit, but Final Fantasy IV does it better, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Final Fantasy IV is like, I think, more intelligent in the way they do stuff. Because there's like, I just remember Final Fantasy VI and thinking like, I have no clue what's happening. Why is there a portal to another dimension where there's animal people that are summoning?
Right.
And that was a clusterfuck. This game is like, there's story. They have different chapters, I would say. It's not, they're not actual chapters, but there's like demarcation points in the story where you enter into a new story and all of the characters are fleshed out. They all have like a backstory except for Edge, who is really just there as a ninja.
He's got a backstory. He's a sexual harasser is what he is. That's his backstory.
Yeah, but he doesn't really have any motivation except for he's a cool ninja. Use this guy occasionally.
And, you know, and his parents got transformed into monsters. We'll get there.
I don't remember that.
Don't worry. I got you through this episode.
Okay. It's been a little bit since I beat this game.
But you know what I like about this game that this game did that a lot of the other Final Fantasy games don't do? It's that you didn't have a job system. Like, people had a role, and like they stuck in that role.
Yeah, that's what
And I like that.
That's why I like this game a lot better than 6 in particular. Because this game, you have healers. You have a summoner. You have people who do magic. You have a guy who's a ninja. You have a fighter. You have your paladin, etc. Final Fantasy VI, everybody can learn every spell.
Right.
And you can just break that game at the end.
So, and that's a problem with, I think, most Final Fantasy games after Final Fantasy IV.
Right.
Is that heavy reliance on the job system or a job-like system.
Yeah.
But I also like in this game, too, that like this isn't one of the games where, like, you know, well, if you put the Game Boy Advance version aside, like, this is a game where, like, you don't get to, like, swap out party members. Like, the story takes people in and out of your party, and, like, it's pretty, like, you're going to beat the game with one particular party. Now, the Game Boy Advance version, they kind of fudge that a little bit, where, like, you can kind of swap in and out party members at the end of the game as, like, a unique little way to play it, which is kind of cool, but I like it as, like, an optional feature, not as, like, you know, not as, like, you know, I just don't like it when it's, like, you have a game like Final Fantasy VII or VI, especially, where it's, like, you got, like, a cast of, like, a dozen people, and you got to make a party of, like, you know, 4 or 5 people. Like, it, because I think we talked about in that episode, it's, like, because, like, there's so much swapping around of characters, there's not, like, a lot of, like, specific dialogue for characters later in the game.
Yeah. And I'll say this, too. Like, this game is, if you want to start playing JRPGs, I would suggest people play this game, because play Final Fantasy games in general, I would suggest you start with 4, because everything after this game gets more and more convoluted, the story-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
And after, because this is a very kind of, it's not straightforward, it's less way less convoluted than storylines in the future.
That says something for a game that takes you underground and then to the moon.
Yes.
That's saying
something. There's giant robots, and multiple people die and come back to life, and a whole bunch of shit happens, yes. And your brother is the villain, or...
Yep.
And your dad is a person from the moon.
This game is plot twist after plot twist.
Plot twist the game. That's actually why I like Chrono Trigger better, to be honest with you. Taking it back to that. Because Chrono Trigger is like, even though that game is about going through many different times, it is very straightforward, not a lot of plot twists. You get really cool character development. But yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode. We'll have that argument
another day.
First game, Final Fantasy game that introduces the active time battle system, which was big deal. It was kind of like, hey, we know this is kind of boring that you take turns, so what we're going to do is we're going to spice it up. So normal JRPGs, what they did back in the day is you just took turns. So your party would attack, then the bad guy would attack, or whatever the order was. This introduces a time element, so depending upon your character's speed stat, he would come up in the order more often. So you had to be quick about choosing your spell or choosing attacks. It adds that. I think that's what kind of was missing from North American audiences, because I don't think we have a very big attention span. So you need like that quick burst of, I need to get this really quickly or else the bad guy's going to hit me before I choose my command.
It's stressful, like when you're doing like big, you're doing bigger battles, like when you have like a full party, like, you know, there's sometimes like when you're on like some of the mountains that have zombie enemies, like they could come like in a group of 6.
Right.
And it's like you, like while you are picking your commands, they're attacking and there's always action going on.
Right.
It's good.
I will say that that's like the one aspect that they kind of nailed down in future Final Fantasy games, because then they give you that bar that shows you exactly when you're going to attack next, and it slowly fills up. And this one, you just have to like mash and like be like as quick as possible.
Yeah, I think
you
some of the later ports, I think, added a bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine they do that, but yeah. So, and this one, as we said, it introduces commands. So Kane has jump, and this was, that wasn't a thing that happened in previous Final Fantasy games where they had additional commands other than attack and spells, etc. But yeah, we have a whole bunch of playable characters. Did you ever play 3?
Yes.
How many?
I played the 3D remake that basically was built in the same engine as the Final Fantasy IV remake.
How many characters were in 3?
You have the same. You have one static party throughout the whole game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was like a very robust job system.
So this, they have 9 playable characters. Can you name them all?
Oh, I'm sure I could. So, let's see. Cecil.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can even do them in the order that you get them.
Okay.
So Cecil, Kane, Young Rydia, Tella, Edward, Yang, Palam, Purim, Rosa, because you get her at this point. So then, and then Fasuya.
He missed Edge and Sid.
Oh, I missed Edge, yeah. Oh, yeah, and Sid.
Yeah. I didn't think about, on my list, I don't have the twins, because they're in there so briefly.
So it's actually 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, aren't they one character, or are they two characters?
Two characters.
Okay.
Like they're like the Bellas. They do twin magic.
Twin magic, yeah. That's another thing. We're going to stop these walls and we're going to turn into stone. But yeah, so there's a lot of stuff.
Listen, when you think everybody is dead in this game, like, well, like everybody besides Tella does come back to life or is not actually dead. Like when you're playing throughout the game, you think Yang actually dies and Palam and Purim turn themselves to stone forever. Like the first time you're playing through that game, you're just like, this is fucked up.
Sid jumps off the thing.
He blows himself up, yeah. Which makes no sense.
No. This whole game. Yeah, so everybody dies, everybody comes back in the end, except for Tella doesn't come back. He sacrifices himself.
He's like,
doesn't Fusoya sacrifice himself too at the very end?
No, he goes with Golbez to fight Zoramus, and Zoramus kicks their asses.
Oh, yes. And I think Fusoya is in... They made a sequel to this, to Final Fantasy IV.
Oh, yes, the After Years.
And Fusoya and Golbez are like hanging out in that.
Yeah, not a good game. That is not a good one.
Have you played that game?
I have not beaten it, but yes, I have played it.
Okay.
Because it is not a good game.
So yeah, everybody has different parties. Cecil's a Dark Knight. He transforms into a paladin when he fights himself after in his story arc. Kane is a bad guy, but he's brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes a member of your party. Rose is a white mage and also an archer. Rydia is a summoner who has a lot of issues. Her mom dies and she can't do, because her town gets lit on fire, she can't do fire magic until her party peer pressures her into doing fire magic to blow up an icy roadblock at one point. There's Edward the Bard.
Worst character in the game.
Yeah,
perhaps.
He's in
all of Final Fantasy.
He's like in it for a hot second too. He's not in your party for very long. Mm. Yeah.
He has the special ability we can run and hide. That is what he does.
He plays songs too, and I don't really understand what the songs do.
What's kind of comical is, and not to jump too far ahead, but in the GBA version. So I don't know if you ever played the GBA version of Final Fantasy IV. I would say that's perhaps maybe the best version to play.
Yeah.
It has like a whole like kind of bonus dungeon. And you can, like I was kind of touching on earlier, like you can actually beat the game with any combination of characters you want in the GBA version. So like you can actually get like a maxed out, super like stat heavy Edward who has like an ultimate weapon that you can get on the moon and stuff like that, and beat Zoramus with Edward if you would like.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bad character. You got Yang, who's a monk. And for some reason in Final Fantasy and other JRPGs, monks are really good at fighting. I don't really understand.
He's got the Wolverine claws.
I don't really understand that, but yes. Sid's an engineer, Edge is a ninja, and Fusoya is a Lunarian.
Yes.
I don't know what that means, but he does spells.
He's from the moon.
Yes, I get that. So
just like Golbez and Cecil are revealed to be half Lunarian, I believe.
So take me through this. So after you blow up the village, you go and you protect...
You protect Rydia.
And then don't you go to Edge's, or not Edge, to Edward's castle?
You meet Tella.
Mitella.
In the cave that you go to after you've saved Iridia, because you, at this point, you've discovered that Rosa is trying to find you, but she's succumbed to a, like, desert fever.
Ah, yes.
And you have to travel through a cave to another cave to get, the thing you need, the ingredient you need to, like, save Rosa. So along the way, you meet Tella, who recruits you to help him blow away an octopus monster at the end of that cave. And that's where he starts to explain to you that he's very upset that his daughter ran off with, very lowbrow...
Bard,
yes, there we go. And then you move on, and you come to find out that Bard is actually a prince.
Yes, and his name is Edward.
Yes, Prince Edward.
And then his castle gets stormed.
Yep, again. First time I played this game, got out of the cave, I was like, oh, we're going to go to that castle. And all of a sudden the screen pulls away, and the Red Wings come by, and they bomb the castle. And I was like, holy shit, didn't see that coming. And then you go in, and like, everyone's like dead and dying on the ground.
And Edward's wife, Anna, who is Tella's daughter, dies. And then I think it's Rosa or Rydia says to him.
Rydia's
like, stop being a crybaby. Yep. We need to get going. And Tella also says something along the
line. They fight, and that's where we get the infamous "you spoony bard" line is in the scene.
So there's a poor translated line that they say that is it Tella saying to Edward? Yes,
but they've kept it in every version since. So then Tella takes off because he goes, I'm going to go figure out how to learn like all the biggest spells on the planet. I'm going to go figure out how to learn Meteo so I can kill Golbez. And now you're with Edward and Rydia and Cecil. You go, you beat the ant lion. You get the ingredient to save Rosa. You go all the way back. You get Rosa after you heal her. And that's you get the one scene now where Edward gets like some actual character development. I don't know if you remember, but like, you know, after you heal Rosa, everyone goes to bed. Edward wakes up in the middle of the night because, you know, he didn't take Rydia's advice.
He like sings a song, doesn't he? Something like that.
Yeah. And like the spirit of his dead girlfriend pops up, but then a monster comes out of the water and he's going to fight the monster by himself. And then he says his final goodbyes to Anna. It's kind of a sad scene.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're not going to go through the whole game.
Nope, that's a good start right there. That's not even like the end of the first act.
No, it's not. Then there's what parts do I want to talk about? There's a giant robot.
The Tower of Babel. The giant of Babel.
Yes, the giant of Babel.
One of the hardest parts of the game.
Yes. And you have to fight that. You have to go to the underground where Bahamut lives.
Nope, he's on the moon.
Bahamut's on the moon? Yep. Who's in the underground? Is that Odin?
Leviathan and Azura.
Leviathan, yes.
And the Sliffs are also summons you can unlock in the underworld.
I will say this. Summons in this game suck.
Some do, yeah.
I think, I played, my history with Final Fantasy is, I think the first one I played was 7. And then I went back and I played all the other ones, and then I played 8, 9, 10. But I went back and played 4 and 6 relatively recently, and I was so... After playing... I think one of the things 7 does really well is they make summons really cool.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, animation, and you see, like, whatever. And in 6 and in 4, and especially in 4, summons are pretty lame. Well, just a character appears on the screen and does damage, and that's it.
6, they're really bad.
Yeah.
You know, at least there's like some basic animation.
Used summons in 6.
Yeah, I didn't either. But in 4, I think, like, you know, especially when you get Bahamut, like, you're using Bahamut, like, on every major boss.
Yeah, yes. You know. And then there's only a couple that are really useful that I found to be useful, because you end up doing more damage other ways than the summons a lot of the times, because they just waste your magic power there. Ashura I used a lot because she did the heal to your whole party.
Yep.
And Bahamut, who did ridiculous amount of damage. I remember this game wasn't super difficult. I don't think it was very difficult.
No, I think even like when you get like a true, when we got the true version of Final Fantasy IV that Japan got, like it's still not all that hard. Well, I feel like that when you have to fight the four fiends the second time, like in a row.
Oh yeah.
And the giant robot, that's very difficult.
And I think the last dungeon is. Can be super hard. Can be challenging.
If you want to unlock everybody's ultimate weapons in on the moon, that is like most of those battles, some of those are like harder than like the last boss in that game.
So the basic outline of this story is that there is an emperor who wants to get all of these different crystals, and there's like a million fucking crystals in this game for some reason, and take over the world. And I don't really understand, so can you explain what the crystals are doing and why?
Well, I think it's if you gather all the crystals, I think it basically creates a pathway for Zoramus to basically get off his moon prison.
Oh, that's right. And
come down to the planet.
So at the outset of the game, you think that the bad guy is the emperor, and then you learn that the bad guy is this guy named Golbez, who is not the emperor, but Golbez is like brainwashed by the emperor. Or the emperor's brainwashed by him, something like that. But they're all being brainwashed by this guy on the moon named Zoramus. He lives on the moon. He's been banished to the moon in a previous life. Don't really know what he is, but Final Fantasy loves doing the thing where the bad guy is different from the bad guy you've been fighting the whole game.
Love it. Even in Final Fantasy IX, they just go like, we just need to plop.
Yeah.
Something down here that makes no sense. Yeah, so just to keep this tradition going.
Whole game goes, you're thinking that the bad guy is going to be Golbez. You find out that Golbez is Cecil's brother for some reason. And Cecil is a Lunarian somehow. He's from the moon.
Listen, Final Fantasy loves stealing shit from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Loves it.
So what is this from Star Wars? Is this...
Because I feel like Zoramus...
Golbez is Darth Vader.
Right.
Definitely.
It's like when you first watch New Hope, you're going like, oh, you know, Darth Vader's the big enemy. No, there's an emperor. Behind the scenes.
Okay.
And then rather than making, you know, Golbez, you know, Cecil's father, he becomes his brother instead.
Right. And Cecil's father, like, dies, doesn't he, at some point?
Or he was a Lunarian with Fasuya.
Yeah, right.
But he's that light that speaks to Cecil on Mount Ordeals when he becomes a paladin.
Fucking Final Fantasy games. A paladin?
There's a paladin. Yeah. I always said paladin as a kid, so I think it's like ingrained in my head, just like I used to call him Kekkel when I was a kid. It took me forever to break out of that.
It's like my wife, she says she has funny ways, the best thing she says, she's like words that she's read that she never heard anybody said. And she said one time, she's like, hey, what's in the back of that house, is that a gazebo?
It just seems really difficult to even try to repeat.
Is that a gazebo? No, it's a gazebo. So that was that's a good one. Yes. But where were we? So there's different... You have antagonists. Golbez is the main bad guy. It turns out that he's being controlled by Zemus, who turns into Zoramus, who's the final form. He wants to use the crystals to destroy Earth because... He's kind of spiteful, but yes. What else do you want to talk about this game, Mr. Chris?
Oh, I think, we could discuss the deep character that is Kane again.
Yes, tell me about Kane. So, what do you like about Kane?
He's a dragoon. You know, beside his cool armor and skill set.
I will say this about him. Every Final Fantasy after this rips off his moves or his job because he was deemed super cool at the time.
It did start in Final Fantasy III, though.
Like,
Dragoon was a job. Yeah. But Kane, I think, just really... Because he's kind of badass.
Because there's a Dragoon, too, in 5 that's, like, one of the main characters, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
I didn't play too much of 5, but yeah. So, like, you know, so Kane, you're like, you know, he goes from babyface to heel to babyface to heel.
Well, he was always a heel in the beginning, and then Cecil becomes face.
I guess it's kind of, you know, yeah... You know, it's a point of view. It's a perspective, I guess. But,
I mean, this is the whole Cecil thing, too, with his story arc. He changes his physical appearance, so he's like at the outset, he's a dragoon, right? No, he's a dark knight. He's a dark knight, yes.
Cecil's a dark knight.
Yes. Cecil's a dark knight, and then he becomes a paladin. His whole look changes, which was different for the time. But yeah, Kane is, he's always the dragoon, which Yep. Looks very similar to a Dark Knight, but...
But even though he's being, you know, brainwashed and mind-controlled, he drops little comments where he's just like, you know, he's like, even though I was under control, like, you know, I still wanted to be close to you, Rosa. Kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Kind of a dick. That's his best friend's girlfriend right there.
I found it weird. I was watching videos of this, and I haven't played any of the 3D ones or the ones with voices. And I was watching videos of what Kane says, and he has like a deep voice, and I was like, whoa, this is weird.
The voice acting in the 3D one is something.
Yeah.
Some very over-the-top voice acting.
Because like Cecil and Rydia and Rosa, they all had voices that were like pretty normal, and that what I expected, I should say, and then like Kane spoke, and he was like, deep.
Yep.
Listen,
he's a dark, conflicted fella. He's probably the most conflicted character in the game. But I think Rydia is actually probably the most interesting character.
I don't know. I like Cecil. I think his story arc's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like the... I like that Rydia has like the whole like baggage like from her family being killed, and she's taken in by the summoners, and she ages, and she's kind of overcome like all this trauma, and you know, kind of like becomes like... kind of like the de facto, like, you know, she rallies the team when things get down.
Yeah. I also, this game too, it's like not too long. And it's, what do you think it is? Like 15 to 20 hours to beat it?
Well, I have 100% of this game multiple times.
Yes.
And that probably takes probably closer to 30 hours.
Yeah.
But especially if you want to get the Adamant armor.
Yeah.
That is... You're investing some time.
It's not like that long of a game.
No,
though.
No.
It's like the perfect length for me. I think the lengths of games that I'm looking for is between, I would say, 15 and 30 hours. Anything over 30 hours, it just becomes wicked intimidating for me, especially with a child and a job. Just too much. I can't do it.
Your job's not this podcast?
No, my job is not this podcast. Let's talk about this game in the context of our list that we have here. And just to introduce everybody to what we do with the endless list of video games on the It's So Bad podcast, we have a list. It's currently 20 games long. It goes all the way from The Legend of Zelda, which is currently sitting at number one, all the way to down to John Madden Football 93. We judge this list on things like graphics, gameplay, story, how it exists contemporaneously with the other games in its time space. So was it innovative? Was it a good game for the time? And we try to fit it on the list somehow. It's tough to judge games from different genres and different eras, but we do our best to try to do that. And this game, every episode, we try to add a new game to the list, or more than one game to the list, depending on what we're doing. This is our 21st game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What we've been doing recently is we've been looking at a particular game and going up or down from there. So I don't want to throw out a number of where you think this is going to be on the list, but let's start at a particular spot and go up and down from there. So let's start at Final Fantasy VI, and we can go up or down from there.
Oh, this is above Final Fantasy VI.
Yes, I would say this is above Final Fantasy VI as well. I know a lot of people love Final Fantasy VI. I don't get it.
Fools.
I really don't. Because
fools.
So this game is not broken. Final Fantasy IV is not broken.
And this game has a secret room where you can find a Playboy. And when you read it, it says, ooh, it's Cecil's favorite magazine. Nothing like that happens in Final Fantasy VI.
Final Fantasy VI, people like it, I think, because of the story. And the bad guy?
They like it, yeah, because of Kefka.
Because of Kefka.
You know?
Kefka's a better bad guy than Golbez.
Yes, but the rest of the cast is much better in Final Fantasy IV.
I would just say that the story arcs for each character is much more fleshed out than in Final Fantasy VI.
Yep, they abandoned like the compelling stuff in Final Fantasy VI. Like, just does not get fleshed out as much as it should.
Like, for example, the king in that game. I forget what his name is.
Saban? No, that's his brother.
That's his brother.
Edgar.
Edgar. Yeah. I thought it was another thingy. Edgar and Saban, both of them. They don't really get their storylines that fleshed out.
The like, best character in Six is it Celis?
Terra is Celis? Celis is the one
the general that yeah. joins you. Yeah, her and Terra like, are like the two best characters. And like, especially Celis.
Terra's
like,
really bad. I can't stand
like,
Terra.
They just abandoned like their stories. Like after like, it becomes like the world of ruin.
Right. And it's not... I feel like that story is bad. I think it's good until they go to the world of ruin. And then yep. it's just
nothing.
Yeah, it's
You're collecting your old characters.
Back. Yeah, and then you have to beat the boss, and they kind of get rid of all the character development, which is sad.
Yeah, meanwhile in this game, Yang, after he blows himself up in the tower, you can go and talk to his wife afterwards and get a little bit more backstory about Yang.
I think I'd remember that.
And then she gives you a spoon that you can throw at the boss of the game.
Yeah, and the spoon does like 9999 damage.
It does max damage.
Yep.
You got characters in this game sacrificing themselves. You got Tella sacrificing himself.
Yeah.
A lot of people willing to sacrifice themselves in Final Fantasy IV. Kind of weird.
Yes.
Kind of weird, but
yeah,
much better game than Final Fantasy VI, especially if you play the GBA version or the 3D remake. Those are the definitive versions of this game.
So the reason why I don't like Final Fantasy VI that much is because the end game is so totally fucking broken that it doesn't become challenging. Everybody can get every spell, so everybody can do Ultima at the very end,
yep.
which is a spell that does 999 damage, and then you can go through, you can waltz through the dungeon if you're leveled up enough, and you have to be in order to get. There's a part with the tower you have to climb,
mm-hmm.
where you can only do magical attacks to bad guys, and after you do that, you get leveled up so much to get that item at the top, which does double magic for Terra.
Right.
You get leveled up so much because that part was so difficult for me to do that the end game is just stupid. It's just it even with eight different characters.
I think it was the GBA version of the yeah. I think it was the GBA version. They added a dual cast ability for Rosa, but just Rosa. Like nobody else gets the dual cast ability
in Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah,
yeah. So I agree with you. I think that personally, I think the story's better. I think the game's tighter. The gameplay is tighter, and even though the story is like a basic I wouldn't even say it's basic. It's just...
This is like, I think, a lot of JRPG tropes
right.
came from this game.
Right, yes, I will agree with that. I think they took some stuff from the original Nintendo games.
Oh, yeah.
Like the crystals, because those crystals come back in like a million games. But yes, this game is like... I will point to Final Fantasy IV. If you want to play a 16-bit JRPG, I will say Chrono Trigger. But Final Fantasy IV, if you want to play a Final Fantasy game, I'd say Final Fantasy IV rather than Final Fantasy VI. So I think it goes higher. I think it's a better game than Star Wars TIE Fighter.
Listen, this is a game, the last thing I'll say about this before we get back to the list, this is a game that when you beat it, and like you look at like the cast of characters you beat the game with, they are characters that like you look at and go, look at how they grew from the beginning of this game.
There's character development
to the end.
Yes, it's, absolutely. There's
it's
definitely
very, very. It's the best.
So
the
best better than TIE Fighter.
Better than Tekken Super Bowl.
Better than Tekken Super Bowl. Better than River City Ransom. Better than Cuphead.
Absolutely better than Cuphead.
Better
than Mega Man 2.
No.
I'll save you the trouble. Better than Metroid. Better than Resident Evil.
Not better than Resident Evil.
Better than GoldenEye.
Definitely not better than GoldenEye.
And better than Legend of Zelda.
Listen, you can convince me that it's better than Resident Evil, but I don't know.
The success of Final Fantasy IV gave us the probably the next... Well, Final Fantasy V kind of sucks. But that gave us VI, which we do not like, but the world as a whole loves Final Fantasy VI.
Yes.
VII, arguably... You know, Final Fantasy IV, I do admit that a lot of it's kind of nostalgia for me as to why I think it's the best game of all time. But VII's probably truly the best Final Fantasy of all time. It is a little overrated, but I think it actually deserves its praise.
I think 9's better,
praise.
But I have to go back and play.
I would say 7 and 9 are the two best. 8 I like. 10 sucks, but that's another game that people love. This is like a whole series. Like, this like launched like basically like 2 decades of some of the best RPGs ever made.
What game just came out last week?
What the fuck came out last week?
Resident Evil 2, the remake, that is getting 90% on Metacritic.
It's fine.
Okay.
How many other good Resident Evil games there? There's four.
Wait. Final Fantasy 4 launched 2 decades worth of Final Fantasy, and it petered out in the late aughts. Like, 15 and 13 people did not like.
I liked them all up to 12.
Yes, okay. Resident Evil also has a prodigious amount of games that came out of... It basically made a genre, because there were survival horror, but not... Like, it made a totally new genre, basically.
Sure.
So you not only have Resident Evil games, which there are good... Resident Evil 1 is good. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2, you think even that is a better game than Resident Evil 1.
Yes, I do.
I enjoy Resident Evil 3, but that's not the best. Resident Evil 4 is maybe one of the best games of all time.
I would agree with that.
Resident Evil 5 and 6, man, we're not going to talk about.
And all the other Resident Evil spin-offs that they came out.
Resident Evil 7, people really liked it, came out 2 years ago. And then the Resident Evil 2 remake is getting hella good reviews right now. So that is just Resident Evil.
Sure, but you also got on the Final Fantasy side, you got Final Fantasy Tactics.
But you have Dead Space, you have the Doom 3, I guess, that people like, I don't know. What other survival horror games are there?
I mean, I don't know if Onimusha counts, but I mean, it's basically the first two, they're built on the Resident Evil engine. I like those a lot. Silent Hill and all that stuff.
Yeah, they're comparable legacies, right?
Yep. Well, what is it? Do you like RPGs better, or do you like tank control zombie shooting games?
Which one do I like better, personally? Do I like Resident Evil better than... It's tough.
I like RPGs better. Yeah. It's my jam.
I mean, I like RPGs better, too, but in particular on Final Fantasy IV versus Resident Evil, it's difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, not for me, but...
Did you ever play the remake of Resident Evil, the original one? Like the GameCube one or the PS4 one?
I played the GameCube one.
They're basically the same game.
Yeah. Oh, that's another shitty Resident Evil game. Resident Evil Zero. That's not a good one.
I haven't played that one.
Oof. It's not a good one. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, I'm at 1. You are, it sounds like, somewhere around 3.
3 or 4. I don't think... It can't go higher than Zelda.
I mean, you know...
It can't go higher than GoldenEye either. I mean, GoldenEye has a huge legacy.
Please.
It's the first console FPS game, basically.
Please. So what are you saying? That this is, it's between Resident Evil and Metroid?
Yeah. Or it's I think it's between GoldenEye and Metroid, somewhere in there.
I mean, it's better than Metroid. We can probably both agree it's better than Metroid.
It's a better game than Metroid, yes. And it also has
And I like similar Metroid a lot.
It's similar influence than Metroid.
I like Metroid a lot as well.
So do we want to put it at 3 or 4?
3. We want it at 3.
All right, we're going to have a new number 3.
There you go.
Let's do it.
There you go.
So we're putting Final Fantasy 4 at number 3 on our list behind...
That's a lot of games you got to rewrite right there on that list.
Oh, gosh. We have a board and we're looking at it.
Should perhaps do some magnets. Put them all in magnets.
Yeah, okay.
It's right on my little magnetic strips.
Or just put it on the computer.
And... Yeah, or that.
Yes. So we're going to add it at number 3 behind The Legend of Zelda GoldenEye 007. We'll put Final Fantasy 4.
Well, you know, not to pull back the curtain too much here, maybe before you start erasing stuff on there, we got another game to talk about today.
Oh boy, if you think it's that high, we're going to have a very large, long conversation. I was thinking more at 22. I have a whole bunch of numbers to write after this, fuck.
I think this, we'll save that for the next episode.
All right. Well, this has been a pleasure, Chris. It's been a real pleasure.
It's been a hoot.
We are going to... add a new game to the list. Thank you so much for providing the music as Dos Chikini.
My client, Dos Chikini Jr.
DCC? Have you renamed it yet?
No. It'd be DC Jr. But I think it's going to be like more of a branding thing. But, you know.
Okay. Well, your client does the music for this, and thank you so much for that. Dos Chikini Jr. on Facebook.
And SoundCloud.
And SoundCloud.
CECCHINI is how you spell Cecchini. That's how my client spells Cecchini.
You can find the complete endless list in this podcast description. It's also on our Medium page, It's So Bad's Medium page. You can follow us on the Twitter, Facebook, or not Twitter, or not the Facebook, the Twitter. On the Twitter machine, it's at It's So Bad Pod. If you would like to email us, it's so bad pod at gmail.com.
Why don't you have a Facebook for this?
I don't really want a Facebook. I want to get everything off Facebook. Mm. I hate Facebook. Just putting that out there.
You need Instagram or something.
Yeah, maybe an Instagram.
Yeah,
something. But we have a Twitter, at It's So Bad Pod. Check that out. We'll be back maybe next week, maybe in 2 weeks. Who knows, with another episode. So like and subscribe on iTunes, the other places, Spotify, etc. But yes, we'll be back. Thanks, Chris.
See ya.